Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM. We've got Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and this show happens every Sunday morning here on K104, right at this time, obviously, because it's happening now. Hi, ladies.
How's happening now? Isn't that a show? Isn't that the name of a show?
It probably could be, and I just, I've fallen into a hole there, I guess.
One you didn't know you were getting into.
Exactly.
Oh. Speaking of holes, I have a little announcement.
Okay. That's an early, really uncomfortable segue. Keep going.
Well, let's just jump right in then.
Okay. Please, jump right in. Speaking of holes, nice. Nicely done.
I have a couple of things I want to talk about, but in particular, when it comes to holes, I got vaccinated. I did it. I bit the bullet. You guys still there? Did you fall down? Did you faint?
Yep, I'm here.
No.
I follow you.
Because, we've talked about it a lot. Well, after I waited online for a half an hour, it went better than I expected. But, we've all talked kind of off the air. I don't really think we mentioned it on the air, our personal feelings on this whole vaccine and pandemic and COVID and blah. And I got to be honest with you, I was really, really against getting a vaccine, mainly because I'm just not a vaccine girl. I've not gotten the flu vaccine. I just, I figure if it's going to happen to me, I'm going to ride it out and I'll be okay. But, this was a little different in that I've, I'm constantly around some elders, like my mother and now my aunt, who's got some serious health problems. And my mother basically nagged me into doing it. So I relented and I did it. But I did the Johnson & Johnson, which was one shot. And, I was kind of bracing myself for the worst, because if you listen to anybody, it's like, oh my God, yeah, I got the shot. And then my arm fell off, but they reattached it. Or I got the shot. And then I threw up for 6 days and then I got the shot. And I do not have time for my arm to fall off. I do not have time to be sick for 6 days. So I willed myself to not have any of those things happen. So I was joking. I went in there. I was going to ask them, instead of doing it in my arm, if they could do it in my butt, just to shake things up and make people a little less nervous. Like, oh my God, she's dropping her pants. Maybe I can do that.
Mary, somebody takes little short snippets from this show and uses them out of context. We are in major trouble. But,
oh my God, okay, she's dropping your pants.
But I decided against that. Uh-huh. So I offered up my arm and it was fine. But I said it was a man who was given, I don't know if they're PAs or nurses or who, God love those people. They have long days just shooting people with vaccines. But he got all done. It was very quick, and he got all done and he put the Band-Aid on my arm and he said, how was that? And I said, it hurt. And he was personally offended by that. And it didn't hurt that bad. And he was kind of personally offended. He's like, oh, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to hurt you. And I'm like, don't worry about it. I get my face stuck with needles once every 2 months. I can handle this. And he laughed. And then, which is true. I'm like, I'm worried about putting a vaccine in my arm. I put botulism toxin in my puss every 90 days. And have for the last 10 years. I'm good. I'm petrified. I'm petrified as in a tree. Like nothing can permeate my cells because I'm preserved.
Well, but you know what? It's nice
you and Cher
that you are self-aware. That's what I'm finding important about this.
I'm owning it, Frankenberry. Yes. I am owning it.
You always do. You mm-hmm. always do.
Mm-hmm.
So your arm did not fall off.
My arm did not fall off. I am not yet growing an elbow out of my forehead. As far as I know, I don't have a second uterus. I mean, maybe that could happen in the future. But I really, the PSA portion of this announcement is I actually had zero side effects. Nothing. Not a thing. Not a headache.
That's
not
fantastic.
A nausea. Not a nothing. So just to let people know, if you're concerned and you're like me, that was my plan of attack. I didn't drop my drawers, but other than that, it was all good. All good. So, which leads me to
go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay, I will go. So, and Frankie Bear, you may choose to edit this part out, but the day you decided to go, I learned that one of Craig's former coworkers almost died from the vaccine with 107 fever.
Whoa.
Really?
I just saw your post that you decided to go. I'm like, I can't tell her. I can't tell her.
Oh my God.
I know. So yeah.
How is that person doing?
Oh, she's okay, but it was
if you have 107 fever, don't you think you're pretty much like cooking on the inside, you know?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
You're baking.
You're baking. You're baking. That I've never heard of a fever that high. That's crazy. Well, I'm glad that person is on the road to recovery, because you know stories like that are out there.
Yeah,
they're absolutely out there, and you know. I'm glad you made the decision. You know me so well to not tell me that story.
Oh yeah, and then Nancy would be PO'd at me. What are you telling her this stuff for? Mm-hmm. So all worked out, huh?
She'd have to up her nagging campaign. I couldn't take it. So yes, it all worked out. And I will also say that getting vaccinated has not inhibited my penchant for multi-million dollar ideas. Because why? I have yet another one. There you go.
Your brain's still working.
We've had million dollar ideas almost every week now for the last several weeks. Would you guys not agree?
I would agree with you there. Yeah,
you have. Yes. Yeah.
Well, we have collectively, because typically one of us gets $1 million idea, then somebody else adds to it, and it becomes a $2 million idea. That's how we work. Like we're simpatico, we three.
That's right. So we're just not able to take it to the actual dollars
yet. Now, hear me out.
Right. Yeah.
Hear me out. Now, we've had a lot of guests.
All right.
We've had a lot of guests on the show who've been very successful for one reason and one reason only. They identify a problem and then they invent something that solves it. And that's like, that's almost
and they actually follow through.
And they follow through. Yeah. We're two thirds of the way there.
There's the key.
A lot of things. Now, this one is so easy, you guys. This could be the idea that we follow through on, but it requires that I tell you something that's probably going to gross a few people out. It grossed me out, and I did it. So, okay, here's the problem. During this pandemic, where we're not going out a lot, can't even get an Uber these days, but that's a subject for another day. You know, I've been
another
drinking,
rant.
Yes, I've been drinking, you know, wine in the comfort of my home. Now, since we've been in this pandemic for a year now, it just made me branch out in terms of my usual favorites. If you're a wine drinker, you know, you probably have a couple of go-to bottles. And if you're a wine drinker also, those go-to bottles, like when you could classify them as my, you know, drink at home bottles or for fancy guest bottles, like everyday wines versus special event wines, because the cost of said wines will vary. Your everyday wines could be easily under $15 or $20. And you don't think anything about that. That's definitely cheaper than a night out. But your not everyday wines could be upwards of $35, $40, $50. So you got to be mindful of who you share those wines with. Do you agree?
Agree.
Thank you.
Oh, Frank and Barry,
we're not, go ahead. Keep going.
We're not talking about B here. Okay. Anyway, okay. So the problem is, here's the problem. Part of the problem. Part A. Because we've been in this pandemic, I elevated my everyday wine category, meaning, you know, I kind of spoiled myself. My everyday wine now that I enjoy every day, I'll put that in air quotes, costs, I'm sorry to say this, it costs $50 a bottle, $50 a bottle.
What?
Oh, lady.
I know, but it's my new favorite. So here's the issue. So I have this $50 bottle of wine that I enjoy during this pandemic at home, you know, a glass or two every other night or so. And it occurred to me that when I am having a glass of wine, say with dinner, what have you, or watching a movie, when I don't finish that whole glass of wine, I pour it down the sink. And the other day I was pouring this half glass of $50 a bottle wine down the sink. And I said, what on earth am I doing? Like, this is nuts. Okay. So here's the multi-million dollar invention. It's one of two things. Okay.
It's an empty Gatorade bottle with a top, but go ahead.
Oh, come on. You can't put $50 a bottle of wine in an empty Gatorade bottle with a top. But instead, you can create a top for the wine glass that you only have finished. A special top that hermetically seals and keeps the air out till the following day. So now you're just popping the top on the wine glass and not wasting that undrunk wine. That's million-dollar idea number one. It could be sold with a kit, because million-dollar idea number 1B would be some sort of way where you only pour wine by the sip and not the glass. This way, you don't waste any. You have a sip of wine, not a glass of wine. Are you guys with me? Yes or no?
All right. So I'm envisioning one of those ball caps that have like the twirly thing on the top and then the two beer cans on either side with the tube that comes down into your mouth, something like that.
Wait, no. Okay. See, now here you did exactly what I said you were going to do. You made the idea better. We have a belt that holds the actual wine bottle in front of us, right? Like a papoose with a wire. And then we sip it that way. Now, there has to be some sort of spigot, though, so that your backwash doesn't go back into the entire bottle of wine. See, that's the thing. Here's the part. Yeah. Here's the part
and you, my friend, will never, ever be seen. You're never going to be seen with anything that resembles a papoose. So I'm calling Nick's on this idea, but go ahead.
Now I'm going to call Nick's on it because you said the word spigot.
This is why you are chairman of the board. Okay.
Spigot is way too close to a box of wine. You know that, right?
Well, now hang on. You know, boxes of wine have become very popular of late. Sometimes you can get boxes that don't taste that bad. But what we need is little juice boxes of wine, because hence the problem I'm describing would just happen all over again with a box of wine. And you can't pour wine back into the box. But what this girl did last week is I poured, for the first time in my life, a half drunk glass of wine back into the bottle. I said to myself, that bottle's not going to be shared with anybody else. So it's like my bottle of wine. So any germs or whatever are simply going to be mine. But as I was doing that for the first time, because I didn't want to waste, like if you do the dollars and cents, that would have been like $5 worth of wine. I was like, no, I refuse to throw this money literally down the drain. And there I was. I didn't have a funnel or nothing. I'm like so good at it. And this was my first time. You walked right in.
Jonna, your idea just needs saran wrap.
100%.
I mean, if you're not going to go with the empty Gatorade bottle.
Oh, this is true, Frankenberry. Her little idea bubble. Don't burst her idea bubble.
Oh, my bad.
But you're right, Frankenberry. Yes, no. John, I have done it. I would never do that with a bottle I'm sharing with anybody else. But if I'm the only one drinking it, it's silly not to.
Wow.
I'm with you.
You know, I don't like your saran wrap and rubber band BS. So it's wine. It needs to be treated as such.
Okay, great. So your idea is to come up with some far too convoluted process to build a freaking top, kind of like the top you put on a can of cat food when you only use half of it, on the top of your wine glass, as opposed
to just grabbing some saran wrap. That's exactly it, though. just like those for those unused when you feed your cat the wet food and you don't finish, you don't give them the whole can. Right. Yeah, like one of those rubbery, stretchy caps that put out. That's exactly what she needs. Yeah, what would you call it, Jonna?
No, okay. What I could call it is non-doable, because here's what you two didn't think about. Here's what you two didn't think about. No two wine glasses have the same circumference. If you're drinking Pinot, different circumference. Cabernet, different circumference. White, different circumference. Now, Jonna, how are you going to do that? How are you,
Jonna,
I asked you. Yeah.
You know, Saran wrap always
has
different circumference, right?
Frankenberry, if I hear the word Saran wrap come out of your mouth one more time,
Sometimes Saran wrap, Jonna, even has the circumference of a sandwich. It's adaptable.
What do you think of the word? What if we adapt your dumb Saran wrap idea and we create little mini clear shower caps that fit on any size wine glass, and we call them wine caps? They're like little, and maybe we could do little glitz and glamour and sequins and stuff, and then you pop that on because it stretches.
Okay, maybe you know, you just sold me because you bedazzled them. So I'm all with you.
No, you lost me on wine cap. We can come up with something better than that.
You think so? All
right. Wine cap.
Well, I mean, right. Like, but
I'm with you on the idea. I actually wouldn't be surprised if somebody makes that. Some other wino who had the same issue previously.
Like those, you guys, and again, Frankenberry, you're not a wine person, so you might sit this one out. But do you remember, and I think you might have picked these up, Carol. It's instead of like putting the cork back in a wine bottle, somebody invented wine. I don't know if we can say the word. Can we say the word? I'll say the word. If we can't say the word, you can edit it out, Frankenberry. They created wine condoms, which just rolled over the top of the wine bottle, like a finger from a rubber glove to save the wine instead of putting the cork back in.
Okay. I could see that.
We could create like a wine glass condom, like the wine bottle condom, but we'd have to call it something else. You better mark this in case you want to like exit out.
I think we're okay with the word condom, Jonna.
All right. I don't know. You know, things have changed in the new world post-pandemic. I don't know.
Condom definitely got worse because of the pandemic. Yes, it's now considered a curse. You're not allowed to use it somehow.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In all seriousness, people are hypersensitive these days, right? Everybody's on edge, pent up, more road rage. Yeah. And then everything has to be PC.
Yeah, that's true. So that's the dilemma. That's the solution. You know, one of these days, you guys, we're going to take our idea to fruition, to market. And then, you know what? Our audience is going to miss us because we're all going to be probably residing in Fiji.
That's right. And we're going to be publicly residing in Fiji, not giving a crap if we throw half a glass of wine down the sink. You know why?
Exactly. At that point, we won't care.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Right. I just got a vision.
John, it's a good idea. All we need is a good name, and we can a really good name for your wine glass condom, and then I can see that on Shark Tank. Yeah,
but the three of us don't want to fight about it right now, do we?
God. Okay, so I'm just going to give you the audience the heads up here, real quick, because I haven't reminded in a while, but a regular thing that both Jonna and Carol will do is come up with that perfectly
awful
segue for our guest. And Jonna has provided yet another.
I think this one is pretty good. Okay. Yes, drop the mic. Because after the break, I am really, really excited about this. I don't know if you guys follow the Holderness family on YouTube, but they're actually hilarious. Kim and Penn Holderness, they became these YouTube superstars. They have like 5.3 million followers across all of their social media platforms. And they do these hilarious like skit type videos. Well, they took their shtick to another level. And they've written a book called Everybody Fights, So Why Not Get Better at It? And it's a book that they wrote along with a marriage coach to talk about different ways people fight and the best ways to overcome those fights. And they do it with their humor and their hilarity and their own personal. Actually, I think they're going to chronicle some of their own personal fights and share those with us. I love that kind of stuff. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking to authors and YouTube sensations, Kim and Penn Holderness. And we're going to be discussing Everybody Fights. Why not get better at it?
All right. That sounds good. That is what is.
No, I'm not going to participate. I'm not participating. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, you're going to fight? You want to fight?
Screw you, John.
You want to fight?
All right.
I don't think all right, approved. I will.
Yes, all these guests that we don't agree on, those two are coming next. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci and myself. And we will be right back. And Jonna, by the way, I have two words for you before the break.
Yeah.
Saran wrap.
Oh.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again here to Happy Hour, everyone. And we've got Jonna Spilborn, we've got Carol Pesci, and segment number two, of course, is where we always have our guests. And I think we're going to have some fun today, correct, Jonna?
You know, I'm already
Jonna's
smiling.
A little, she's giddy.
I am giddy. I get excited because if you are not living under a rock, you have likely seen at least one of the Holderness family videos. They are essentially YouTube sensations. We're going to be talking with them about their latest book in a second, but let me give you their official bio. So we have on the line with us Kim and Penn Holderness. They've been married for a full 16 years. Seven of those years, they chronicled, oh, I didn't know you were doing it for 7 years, chronicled their marriage and their family and funny music videos, blogs, skits, and a podcast. And you guys, I got to just sidebar here. All you have to do is Google Holderness Family and you can sit there and laugh for hours. Their videos have garnered over 1 billion views worldwide. Penn and Kim honed their storytelling skills with 25 combined years in the TV news business. I knew you had a TV background. When the wonderful world of YouTube and Facebook appeared, Kim had the idea to ditch the traditional broadcast world and start making content in the digital space. Because you're a visionary. When they aren't dancing around like crazy people on the internet, Penn and Kim help international companies make videos of their own. Penn and Kim live in Raleigh with their two children and a dog. And we are actually here to talk to them about, they have their first ever book, which dropped last week, called Everybody Fights, So Why Not Get Better at It? So Kim and Penn Holderness, we cannot wait to jump into this book and welcome to Happy Hour.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
So before we begin, I want to be a little selfish in that I was just flipping through some of your videos because you are
for once.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Let me be selfish for once because you are really super hilarious. And I'm going to tell you how you kind of changed my life for the better with one single video. And it's the video. I don't know what it's called, but it's about Penn. You're singing about having ADHD. And so maybe our listeners can go to YouTube and find that. But what cracked me up is in that video, Kim, you know, you're saying about having ADHD and there's a scene where you're in your kitchen and all of the kitchen cabinet doors are left open and the drawers are left open and you just kind of walk in and you're shutting all the kitchen drawers and doors. And that changed my life because that is my life. And I have thought and contemplated putting a pillow over my boyfriend's head more than once because he does it to me all the time. And when I saw that video, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to lighten up. Look how much fun she's having with it.
Jonna, I'm serious. Yeah, Jonna, it sounds like your boyfriend has what we call an STD.
A shedding things disorder.
Yes.
Great.
Why are you laughing? Does that stand for something else?
I'm not aware of. No. So in video form, it's funny. And we have tried to take his ADHD and celebrate the positives of it. But I have to tell you, yesterday he was looking for his cup of coffee, but he had left it on like the perch of like in between stairs. Like we find stuff in very weird places.
It was on the floor on the outside of the stair railing.
Yeah, it was.
I don't even know how I put it there.
I know. So we try, I try, but let me tell you, as somebody who's a little type A, it is hard most times, but it's a daily struggle.
Oh my gosh. And I can so relate, but the fact that you had fun with it honestly made me lighten up. And I have a feeling, I mean, that's probably a big reason why you guys do what you do the way you do it. And it, to me, it makes sense that you have written this book because it's sort of a natural offshoot. So I wanted to talk to you about that. Cause when people see you online, you make us laugh, you're entertaining, you kind of bring forth problems and issues and, you know, little life details that we all have, and then you make light of them. And of course we all fight, whether you're married or in a relationship or what have you. So I want to talk about why did you decide to write this book?
Well, because we're getting in a lot of fights. We look at the comments on our videos, and just like anybody else does, and we see, oh, you guys are the perfect couple, you know, relationship goals. And that's great. We do show a lighthearted side of our relationship when we're on the internet, but there's so much more to it. And, you know, about 5 years ago when we decided to go into work together, we work out of our home and we're married. So this whole quarantine thing that you guys have been doing for the last year, we started doing it 5 years ago. And like a lot of the rest of America, it led to some squabbles. Like we started getting in the same fights over and over again. Kim asked me to go to counseling. At first, I was the stereotypical guy who said, no, what do you mean? Like, what do you think? Like, this marriage is not a failure. You know, I kind of overstepped and assumed that it meant that I was a failure. When I finally decided to go, it was not only great, it was so simple. And so it was something we wanted to share.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so this book kind of came out of that. Like, we learned these simple communication tweaks, and we changed the way we listened to each other, and we changed the questions we asked, and it made such a profound difference in our marriage. I mean, listen, we had a good marriage. We weren't in crisis. Our marriage was fine, but it made it a great one. And we kind of felt like it wasn't something that you can share in a silly 3-minute video with jazz hands. It needed more nuance than that. And also important to note that we wrote it with our counselor. Yeah. So the stuff we're sharing, it's like we share what we learned, but in terms of a professional, like we're not pretending to be therapists or counselors or any of that.
So you had mentioned in the information that I got from your people that you wrote this with a divorce. So is there a difference between a divorce coach and a divorce counselor? Is that the same
process? We didn't go to a divorce coach. I didn't know there are people who called themselves.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marriage coach. Sorry.
There you go.
She's a divorce attorney.
My brain's in a different way.
Well, with the divorce rate as high as it is, I bet you money there's a divorce coach. If not,
there are.
We go to GoDaddy and find the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we call him our marriage coach because I feel like, you know, a traditional, like you can call it whatever you want, but just somebody who gave us advice and gave us literally, like the way I work is I want a script. Just tell me what to say. Tell me exactly what to say. And he would do that for us.
So, because the other thing, question I had is you raise a new word, something that I have not heard of. And you speak in the book about the magic of meta communication, and I'm dying to know what meta communication is.
It's the art of taking a 30,000 foot view of the fight that you either just had or that you're currently having and looking at what's going on in your life outside of the actual fight. Are you tired? Are you hungry? Big one, are you drunk or are you a little bit tipsy? What's happening to your body at this moment? Like you have to look at the science of what's happening to your body. When you get in a fight in modern day, it does the same thing to your body that being attacked by a saber-toothed tiger did to cavemen.
I mean, not the same thing. We're not ripping into shreds, but similar.
No, but your pupils dilate. The Broca area of your brain that controls speech surrenders itself. So when you sometimes feel you're so mad you can't even talk to someone, that's your brain actually surrendering itself because you're in a situation of stress. So metacommunicating is taking all of those things into account and kind of Monday morning quarterbacking your fight.
Yeah. So it's talking about how you talk to each other. And we kind of zoomed out and looked, you know, after the fight, after everything was, tensions were cooled, like we either, you know, we grab a cup of coffee and we're like, okay, what was going on? And a lot of time we found that we were getting in a lot of our biggest fights in December. So, and we looked, we kind of zoomed out and we're like, this is the busiest time of year for our business. It's a busy time of year as a parent, because there's like church and school and pageants and all this stuff and all this stuff too. And then just the normal holiday stuff. So when in now, like this past December, like I think I was getting a little snippy, and Penn's like, you know what? This is a December fight. This is something that in March would not be an issue. This is December happening. And we're like, and I zoomed out. I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. And so that's the whole like meta communication of it. So talking about how you talk to each other.
I think that's good advice for any time we're in a challenging situation. Because when we are upset, either angry or afraid or sad, it's all consuming. It's like, it's everywhere on us and it feels huge. And it's a healthy thing to step back and be not the emotion, but the awareness behind it, right? To look in on it and then to use that visual of going up as high as you can, encompass as much as you can. And then that issue becomes smaller and smaller in the whole scheme of life.
Absolutely.
Now, is there a way you guys, did you learn through this process? Like, okay, so let's say you Monday morning quarterback a fight and you learn how to do meta communication. You figure out, you know, kind of like the root cause of what your discomfort was. Does that then help you the next December or the next fight not go there? Is that like the idea behind it?
That is 100% the idea. The biggest fight we got in December was Christmas of 2018. And we really use the terms in later years. This is a December issue. And that it doesn't just apply to Christmas time. You know, if you're a parent, anytime your kids are under stress, you take that stress on as well. There's all these things that you have to keep in mind.
Yeah. See, I think this is like real world meets. I mean, you're breaking down how we can get better at fighting so that eventually there is no fighting. Like, what is the concept of staying in the airport, figuratively speaking?
Staying in the airport is a metaphor that our counselor gave us, which basically means one fight at a time, please. The metaphor is the fight is the airport. The airport sucks. You don't want to be there. Like, the chairs aren't comfortable. You can't sleep anywhere if you want to sleep. There's delays. You want to get on a plane and fly to Miami, you know, but you're stuck in the airport. What people tend to do is they'll start fighting about chicken, and it'll end up being about how somebody is never spontaneous or sucks at sex or whatever.
You're terrible with money. And so that's the premise of it, is the theory of it is we were jumping all over the places. Our fights would start in one thing, end with another. So he's like, it's not that those other fights aren't important, but have one fight at a time. Right. Like, and have that discussion, because we were having the same fights over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But once we started having one fight at a time, we were able to resolve it, come to a conclusion. And by the way, like, our fights aren't always like, we're not always like table flipping and swearing at each other. In fact, like, they are conflict right now. there'll always be conflict. So we're not saying you'll get to a place where you're never fighting, but it's very calm. And, you know, I think we learned that we listen better now, and we ask better questions, and there isn't like a winner or a loser. There's just like a better understanding of each other. And I think a good fight, like, you learn something, you learn more about what your partner's protecting, right? And so you're learning about your person. You know, so I think you grow closer in good conflict.
You hit on something I think that is key in, like Carol just said, not just romantic relationships and marriages and things like that, but in life in general. Like, so I'm an attorney. I fight for a living. Uh-huh. And there are definitely good ways and bad ways to go about it. And what you just said, if you can learn how to take a position and, quote, win a fight without making the other person feel as if they lost, I think you can become the world's best negotiator. And not just, like I said, and not just in a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
That is key.
Yeah. And I think that these lessons we learned are so applicable in the business world and even with our children. Like, we're asking better questions of our kids, and we're, you know, and hopefully teaching them how to have, you know, better conflict with each other, their friends, their future partners. Because, yeah, there's an element of like a big thing what we talk about in the book is asking for what you want. And sometimes in a romantic relationship, and you see this person like floss their teeth in their underwear every night, but it's uncomfortable to ask for exactly what you
I don't
like.
Understand why you use that metaphor. I feel like I look pretty hot.
You actually do. You have a cute butt. So yeah, you do look kind of cute. But now it got awkward. But just a good way to ask for what you want. Yeah.
So you also talk about in the book the concept of the 3 D's. So can you tell us a little bit about those and why I guess they're bad?
Yeah, they're distraction, denial, and delay. And I think you can, I don't need to explain that to people. It's something bugs you and you find something else to put on your mind. You maybe even find something else to fight about, or you pretend like it's not there. We learned that everyone, particularly after a couple of years and the honeymoon wears off and you're, you know, not walking on eggshells, everyone has fights that they're not having. And if you don't have those fights, resentment is going to build up, and you're going to be having other fights that have nothing to do with the real problem because you're looking for something else to vent your frustration on. It's called stonewalling. We're not the ones who invented it. There are a lot of other great books on it, but essentially we advocate just bringing up what it is that you want and what's bothering you, and prepare for what we call the 7 seconds of suck. Because if you say something, there's going to be 7 seconds of total silence from your partner where you don't know what they're going to say. And you just have to rip it off like a Band-Aid.
The 7 seconds.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally love that.
But I think it helps if both, which is what's beautiful about the two of you, is that you were both on the same page with the overall intention of becoming better at understanding each other and being more productive in your conflicts. And I think it seems like you could sum the process or maybe the intention with seeking to understand versus seeking to be right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a good fight, you don't win or lose. You learn something important about the person.
Right. And that's the objective.
Yeah.
Right. And what do I have to say next to prove my point or win? No, it's not about that. How can I learn and understand more?
One other thing that I will say, I wasn't originally like this. I wanted to be right. I wanted to not fight. Above everything else, I loved my partner and wanted to stay married to her. So you're hearing us aligned after a little bit of work. And I'm saying that because I think that's kind of the neutral gear for, not to be stereotypical of gender, but of men. A lot of times we want to keep on driving down the road. We want to be right. We don't want to fight. We want to be married and we love our partner. And the doing the work part is not a natural feeling. And the only thing I would say is the reason we're aligned is because she was kind and patient enough to wait until I was ready to go get help with this. And when I did, it was just really easy, much easier than people think it is.
Wow.
Can I ask you a personal question? And again, I'm always bringing it back to something very selfish, but do you guys, you spend a lot of time together, obviously. You work together, you live together, you have family together. Do you ever take and do you need time apart?
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole chapter on that. Especially, I mean, I'm an extrovert and she's an introvert. We both need our own kind of time apart, right?
Yeah. I think that we call it, like, we need to see other people. I recharge by myself alone on the couch. Like, it is, can be like my heart.
Amen.
I get like really excited to think about time alone on the couch. And then Penn recharges when he's around other people. Like, he took up tennis as an adult. So he goes out and plays tennis. He has this great group of guy friends, and he obviously had the travel's been super limited in the last year, but every Wednesday night they have like video, like Zoom poker night they play. And so, you know, now that like vaccines are coming, like he's planning trips. Like, we definitely, I believe that we are a better couple because we have our times apart.
That's awesome. And I, another personal question is, on your videos, is that really, like, Penn, is that really your singing voice? I don't know if that's, because if it is, you're damn good. But is that very really good. You?
Thank you. Yes, with an asterisk. It is always my voice, but there's great technology in correcting and improving the pitch of people's voice. And almost every famous singer that you hear uses it.
Auto-tune,
pitch, whatever it's called. I definitely use it. And on some days I need to use it more than others. Like if I've had a big night.
Yes, I, Penn, I understand the tweaking of that. I've built quite a few parody songs over the last couple of years, and I've discovered that I really like chorus and I really like echo.
Yep. Spreader. Like there's so many options. Yes. No, spreader is like a bigger version of chorus that like makes your voice really fat.
Oh gosh. Yeah. It sounds okay.
Well, honestly, though, your videos really are hilarious. And, you know, I've decided, like, there's some YouTube sensations that I adore. You're one of them. Oh. And not that you have anything to do with this other YouTube sensation that I adore. It's not a YouTube sensation. It's a TikTok sensation. But I urge everybody to watch for Georgie Boy. Have you seen him?
No.
He's a monkey. And his owner feeds him food and just puts the camera in his face. And you can just start your day by watching a monkey eat a grape. And it's like the most
I need this in my life. Yeah.
I am.
That is the first time we've been on the couch. Yeah. That, thank you. We've not been in a list with a monkey being fed before. and that's totally
well,
fine.
Which is better
I'm
than
what, here for it.
It's better than how I start my day, which is I watch pimple popping videos. Yep. So like a monkey eating a banana or a grape is much better.
Yeah, I'll go
you
with
too.
That.
Hey, I'm sensing your next parody video in the works.
I love it.
You guys are going to thank me when you find Georgie Boy on TikTok. You're going to email. You're going to be like, you know what? I totally get it. Thank
you're right.
God.
And I'm like getting a monkey because this like parody thing is garbage. I'm just going to devote my life to.
You're just going
to
buy a monkey.
Just get a monkey. Sounds totally normal.
Throw poop all over the house.
Mm-hmm. You guys.
I'm into it.
You guys are so. This has really been a treat. And I am so looking. This book is going to help a lot of people. Like I said, not just in romantic relationships. And you've got such a huge audience that are going to love to get an additional inside view to you guys, because I'm sure your fans already feel like they know you because you, I don't know, you just give up such a funny part of yourself. And we really appreciate that. So we have been talking with the Holderness family, Kim and Penn Holderness. They've just written their first book, Everybody Fights, Why Not Get Better at It? And I think one of the treats is you're going to use some of your own personal fights to teach us how to get better at it. And it's all in the book, Everybody Fights. Kim and Penn, you guys are great. Please keep up the great work. You really are a funny part of my day and a lot of people's day.
Thank you, John.
So love it.
Thank you. And I hope things go okay with your car.
Thank you. It's all good.
Yeah.
You know what, Penn? She blocks in some of her employees on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, sometimes we're going to get a book for the two of you and you guys can work out your disagreement.
You guys have been great. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. We are listening to Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilborn, Carol Pesci, and myself. And we will be right back. Segment number three is on the way. Stick with us.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
Good morning, one more time here, and welcome back again to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci for our third segment. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Frankenberry.
No, we should just stop trying.
That was the worst.
So there must be a delay because that sounded like we were at the same time to me. So there must be delays amongst our.
Right, but there can't be a delay if you're hearing if we're all hearing each other in normal time, there really can't be a delay.
You would think, but it sounded, I thought we did pretty good. And then there's other times when John will like chime in 5 minutes after me and she'll be like, nailed it. So.
My favorite was last week where you did the normal speed, you know, hello, Frankenberry. And then John decided to out of the blue go, hello, Frankenberry. Nailed it. nails what?
I know. I was so excited. It's so funny, though. But, you know, as our guests know, we record this show during the week. And I've got to find a new place to sit when we record this show, because when I listen to it as if we're live, I sound like I say to myself, I sound like I've got a mouthful of peanut butter. And I think it's the what do you call it? Not lighting would be ambient, like
the peanut butter.
The sound, right? The peanut butter mixed with the wine that I didn't drink the night before. There's too much echo.
That'll do
in this room. Yeah, that's what I think. But anyway, I just want to harken back. I think the Holderness family are fantastic. They've pretty much got my dream job. Like, I would love to wake up every day and do funny videos and, you know, write a few books and have my good friend Carol Pesci publish them and, you know, sip my day-old wine on an island. I would love that.
Like, well, you know, as they shared in their book, each short funny video we see actually takes hours and hours work. And this was one of the reasons they wanted to write the book, was to show their authentic and real side. Like, we see just what they want us to see. And that is one of the blessings and simultaneously curses with social media these days. But they felt it was important to show their whole selves, their real selves, their whole, how they do, their real couple. They fight. And when you work together and are married, it becomes even more challenging. So I give them a lot of credit for showing us their whole selves. And then not only that, but what they learned along the way to make their relationship better, to not wish for not fighting at all, but to learn how to communicate better so the fights are productive, which is healthy.
Oh, absolutely. And it also raises another point, and it reminds me a little bit of, High Achiever, the Jenkins family, Juggling the Jenkins, Tiffany Jenkins, because fans like fans will hook on to something or whatever it is, your shtick or whatever, your platform, they hook on and then they want to get to know you more and let you, you know, kind of dive into your life a little more personally. And that's, she's done that. Now the Holderness family has done that. And this is actually a good segue into something that I wanted to talk about, but I wasn't planning to connect the two. So thank you, Carol, because this is a good connection.
You're welcome.
You know, like, I'm a big fan of the Real Housewife franchise, although I am just getting back into it. I kind of took a break when I was out of my house and living in my parents' basement, but now I'm back. And one of the Real Housewives is Lisa Rinna, and she used to be a big soap opera star. She's married to Harry Hamlin. She's most notable for her huge pouty lips.
Her over-injected lips.
She's got those, and I think she's tried to under-inject them over the years. But she's kind of a character, and she's not dumb. Like, you know, when you watch her on that show, she's actually smart, and, you know, she loves her family. Well, anyway, she does this thing on social media with regularity where she just hops on Instagram, and she just dances. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't give any sort of content. She just will start dancing. And occasionally I would see them in my Instagram feed, and I would, you know, immediately just keep on scrolling because I'm like, this woman's a wacko. Like, how embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed for her because she would look so weird doing it. And then the other day, literally, she was on my Instagram feed, and I watched her whole dancing video. And then I went and I watched another dancing video, and I probably watched a third dancing video, and I gained a whole new respect for Lisa Rinna. But here's why. I said to myself, she acts crazy. It's kind of embarrassing. She looks a little silly, and she doesn't give a hoot about any of that. Obviously, it makes her feel good. You know, she wants to show off a little bit for her fans. She has fun doing it, and she doesn't care what people think. And I'm like, that's the key. She doesn't care what people think. And that's the lesson to take away. And now I watch her dancing videos to remind me not to care what people think. And that was a very unintended little pearl that I got off her Instagram feed. And I just thought that was kind of, maybe, you know, maybe we've done things in the past, Carol, that have had that same effect on people. Wouldn't that be nice to know?
I agree. There's been times I'll see somebody doing something or even even a choice of clothing in public. And I at first I'm like, did you look before you left? And then I'll pause for a second and be like, I kind of wish I could do that. I kind of wish I could care less. Right. So there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, that's kind of a weird thing to do, but it did get you to watch. And then there's a part of me that kind of admires somebody who goes in the honey badger mode and they just don't give a crap.
It's a good point.
That's exactly it. And maybe we could work on dialing that in a little more. Cause I will say this too. And, you know, we promote happy hour every week on social media. And because of the way social media works, until you pick up that feed, until you catch lightning in a bottle, social media doesn't let everybody see certain posts. So I could post something about getting a vaccine and I'll get 300 likes or comments. But when I post about the show where I tag our station, I tag our guests, social media is like, nah, this is, you know, you probably should be paying to post it. So we're going to not let a lot of people see it. And once you get past a certain point, though, they can't stop you. You become like a runaway train, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think we can work on that a little bit because more people should know about us. We have a great show. I mean, we're hilarious and we're awesome. And I think more people need to know.
And we never fight.
That's right.
We never fight.
A runaway train wreck, you know, with no problems whatsoever.
Runaway train wreck. I love that. So that's just
all right. So this summer will be our 10th anniversary.
I know.
Why have we not yet been discovered? Why have we not been discovered? I know our three fans love us. Your mother, my mother, and who's Denise, don't forget comments back on Frankenberry's page. Yes.
Thank God for Denise. Thank God for Denise.
He compliments us every week.
Thank you, Denise. So we just got to, you know, look, if by the end of the summer we double our fan base from 3 to 6, we're heading in the right direction.
Damn straight.
You know? Okay. All righty then.
All right. That sounds good. So anyway, for those of you folks out there listening right now, all three of you, if you know anybody else that would like to join you or possibly just listen online later on in the week, feel free to bring them along and then let us know. So we'll have an idea how many people we've added.
Great.
But hang on. Before we go.
Jonna to dance.
Oh, great idea.
Before we go, let's acknowledge those three fans. Okay. I'm going to go first. Hi, Mom.
Okay. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Denise.
That was great.
All right. So thank you again for tuning in to Happy Hour here. And we'll be back again next week. We do it every week here, 8 o'clock. So please join us again then. But again, don't forget that you can always catch these shows online during the week and old shows as well at 929WBPM.com/happy hour. Until then, have a good week. Make it a safe one. Thanks.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.